My initial intention was to follow the theme of various things which God is not and things which God does not do only during the first semester. But I'd like to sneak one more in. I was listening to the radio on New Year's Eve, after all, and one of the items which is featured at the end of a calendar year apparently is the rehearsal of a list of words and expressions which some feel were used or misused to such an extent during the passing year that they should simply be retired. According to this particular news report, the organization that compiled this year's list goes by the acronym NAG, which I understand stands for National Association for Good Grammar. One of the items on NAG's list this year is the expression, too big to fail. I know I heard that expression quite often during 2009, perhaps you did too. In reporting about certain financial institutions during the so-called financial crisis that is in play, it was quite common to hear reporters refer to certain banks and institutions as being too big to fail. Apparently, the government views certain banks, certain entities, as so mammoth and so intricately intertwined with the economy of the country that if they were ever to collapse, it would be incredibly detrimental to the welfare of the nation. And so the government did some dramatic things to pump up these institutions. But the expression, too big to fail, no matter how it's used, really cannot be properly applied to anything in this world. For everything in this world at some point will fail. Those banks will fail. At some point, they will lose their strength and viability, as have all others. Think whatever financial institutions were the powerhouses thousands of years ago no longer even exist. Whatever political forces held the greatest amount of earthly power in previous millennia have long ago been reduced to little or nothing. Nothing in this world is too big to fail, in any sense of the expression. For everything in this world, as Jesus pointed out, can be eaten by moth or stolen by thief. And what's true of things is also true of people. We humans fail because we humans are frail. As one of our hymns states it, we are children of dust and feeble as frail. Despite temporary bursts of energy and prowess, we are no more stable or enduring than the thin chaff that surrounds a kernel of grain. The world's greatest athletes who are about to be put on display at the Olympics in Vancouver will at some point fade and go the way of all mortals. The most popular political figures who burst onto the scene with great promise of success invariably fade, experience dips in the poll, and are soon relegated to the pages of history. The most positive thinkers in the world, who claim that you can achieve absolutely anything as long as you set your mind to it, invariably are confronted with the fact that the most positive thoughts in the world cannot halt the harshnesses of life. Nothing and no one in this world is too big to fail. All flesh is as grass, and all its glory is as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower falls. Everything in the world eventually fails because everything in the world has been tainted by sin. Sin is that corrosive agent, that unstoppable corrosive agent that dooms everything and everyone to fail. Everything and everyone, that is, except the one who is sinless. God is too big to fail. Consider the proportions. For him, planet Earth serves as nothing more dramatic than his footstool. All of space, with its great expanse, serves him as a very comfortable fit. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? And nothing can diminish the greatness that God possesses. Time can't. It has no effect on him. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Public opinion certainly can't. When the princes and the rulers of this world take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, the psalmist says, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision." And as the one whose power never diminishes and whose greatness never falters, he remains the one and only who cannot fail. Whatever it is that God sets his mind to do, that very thing will be done. And thankfully, what he sets his mind to do are all things that benefit us. The prophet Zephaniah declares, "The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails." Overriding all the injustices on the globe is the all-pervasive and all-powerful justice of the Lord. He knows where such injustices have occurred, and in his own time and in his own way, he never fails to right the wrong and come to the aid of his people who cry out night and day for vindication. But even greater than the fact that his justice never fails is the fact that his mercy and grace never fail. If the Lord were consistent only with respect to his justice, we'd be in serious trouble since we deserve his wrath and punishment. But he is just as consistent with his divine mercy. Having sent his Son to pay for our sins, he now sees us, his people, as those who are covered with the righteousness of his Son and therefore freed from all condemnation. Because of Jesus, God never fails to forgive us and to provide us with grace upon grace. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is unnerving, isn't it, to think about all the things that could potentially fail in this brand new year? Health, finances, relationships, government stability, peace between nations, food, clothing, etc., etc. It would be very difficult to step into this new year with any level of confidence if we were to do so left by ourselves. But right by our side, every inch of the way, is the one who does not fail. He does not fail to forgive us our sins. He never fails to hear our prayers. He never fails to know exactly what's best for us in any situation. He never fails to fulfill every promise. He never fails to bless. And so we should not fail to step into 2000 or 2010 with great confidence and security. A hymn which we began rehearsing yesterday in choir addresses God, saying, "Infinite your vast domain, everlasting is your reign." Infinite your vast domain. God is very big. Everlasting is your reign. Too big to fail. We sing of his greatness in the form of hymn 17, the first two and the last two stanzas. Hymn 17, first two and last two.